and spoke about the fact, and just to reiterate here, what's your name? Paul?
Paul,
especially for Paul, who wasn't here. but probably for everybody who a long time has passed. If you say every bracha, the Gemara says, Kol bracha she'ein bo shemu malchus ein a bracha. A bracha that doesn't have in it the name of Hashem, and the malchus, and talking about the fact that God is the king, is not considered a bracha. So we spoke about why are those two ingredients so vital for a bracha. After all, we don't find on the early brachas, like the brachas that you say in Tehillim, we don't find that it has Shem Malchus. Baruch Ata Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha. Right? It's bracha in Tehillim. One of the brachas of the David HaMelech. It says, Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed art thou, O Lord our God, right? Who taught us his Torah. We don't find Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Yet Chazal came along and they said, Al-Gemar Brachas, they call bracha, that if a bracha doesn't have Shem Umalchus, that it has to have both the Shem Hashem, we understand the Shem Hashem, that's what we're talking to, but it has to have Malchus only. So, spoke about the fact that what's happening when a person makes a bracha, or giving a bracha, is that you're bringing blessing. This is what's going on every time you make a bracha. This is what it's all about. Is that you're bringing a bracha from a blessing from a very, very high place to this world. And a bracha, every bracha starts with Hashem. Every bracha starts with Hashem. And it works its way down very, very fast. Works its way down very, very fast. Until it gets into this world, and then the person who's saying the bracha, let's say you're giving a bracha to your son or to somebody else, or you're a tzaddik who's giving a bracha, a rebbe. So what you're doing is you're taking something which is in a very high place and you're bringing it right into the, you're focusing it like a magnifying glass, focusing the sun, you're focusing it right onto the object or subject that we're dealing with, right? Remember we talked about that?
Mm-hmm.
So the highest level, the highest level of the blessing is right in front of Hashem. So that's why when we start a bracha, we say, Baruch Atah, you. We don't even talk about you as what? You as Elokeinu, you as Melech, you as some kind of a provider. Just talk about you. It starts with Hashem before he gets any names, or before he gets any titles, or before he gets any descriptions. We start with HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem. You are Hashem. We'll get a little more into that today. What's a Hashem? But and then we're bringing it down. Elokeinu Melech Olam. Melech. We learned that when we talk about Hashem as a king, which is the second half of every bracha, or the second third, I should say, of every bracha. So we're talking about Hashem as a king. A king is something that we do here, something we do in this world. You can't be a king unless you're a subject of the king. Unless you subjugate yourself to that king, unless you subserviate yourself to that king, right? So a melech, Hashem is in charge either way. So this is what the pasuk means when it says, ki l'Hashem hamlucha u'mosho ba'goyim. That by the goyim, and when we say goyim, we don't mean goyim, goyim, but by those that don't know to accept the ruling of Hashem, they don't understand that this is something that we're supposed to live with, so Hashem is a moshe. A moshe means he's a ruler. Moshe Bagoyim, he's a ruler, that's all. He's just calling the shots, he's a Moshe. But with us, it's a whole different story. It's not just that he's calling the shots, it's that we're accepting something within ourselves in this world, and we're saying that Hashem is a Melech. Do you understand the difference between a Melech and a Moshe, right? You get a Melech is something which happens in this world. A Moshe is something that happens. Moshe, he's a ruler. A Melech is something, that's why the whole Rosh Hashanah is about making Hashem into a Melech. That's the whole, every time we make a bracha, we're making Hashem into a Melech. It means Malchus is the highest level and the lowest level. It's the highest level that a person can get to, is that you feel that Hashem is a king in your life. King is such a, not a good word, because it conjures images of, like a king. It sounds like a sort of an immature word, but off with his head, right? So, but that's not what we mean when we say king. I just don't know a better word. When we say melech, what we're talking about is that we're creating some type of a malchus shemayim. We're creating some type of a system in this world where Hashem is in charge and involved in every single level of our life, and we're cooperating. We're living in that system, right? That's what melech means. It's a system that we're living in. So if you're part of the system, if you want to be part of the system, so it's ki l'Hashem hamlucha. If you're not part of the system, you just happen to be in the system, whether you like it or not, so then Moshe Bagoy is a Moshe. So when we talk about a bracha, we're starting off, we're bringing the bracha from a high place to a low place. We're starting off with Baruch Atah Hashem, you, and then we're bringing it all the way to Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, right? And we explained last week that the bracha is very interesting grammatically because it starts off, I discussed with you last week, that there's such a thing as nochach and there's such a thing as nister. So nochach in grammar. Nochach means that you're right there. If I'm talking to Yeshaya, I say, how are you? If I'm talking about to Yeshaya about Uri, I say, how is he? So he could be here, he cannot be here. That's not the point. The point is, I'm one step removed, if you will, to nister. Nochach means I'm talking about you. You're right here, I'm standing in front of you. So when I make a bracha, I start off with nochach, because the bracha starts off right in front of Hashem, that's right there. And then, as it trickles into this world, this blessing through me, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes over there, because we're a step removed. And then we're talking in third person. Asher kidshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu. He made us holy with his mitzvahs. He, right? He made us holy with his mitzvahs, and he commanded us, right, to do this. We're already like a step removed. We're not any longer. We went from you to he. In the same bracha, we went from you to he. So what happens over there? We're at a different level. Within the bracha itself, we're moving from you to he. Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, by creating malchus in this world. Asher kidshanu. You know, there's a language, let's say we say in the Musaf of Yontov, we say Asher kidashtanu b'mitzvosecha. Again, you see, that's a you. Kidashtanu. You made us holy with your mitzvahs. That's not what we're doing in a brach. That's a Yontov thing, but when we get to Yontov, we'll explain. But what we're saying is Asher kidshanu, not kidashtanu. What's the difference between kidshanu and kidashtanu?
Well,
one's nochach, one's nister, right? So the kidshanu, we move into a, perforce, we moved into a nister place, because that's what's happening in this world. The bracha is getting into from a you to a he. That's why we move from nochach to nister, and that's what's happening when we're making a bracha. That's what we talked about last week, right? So it's a very clear thing. It takes a little bit of time to make a bracha, if you do it correctly, because you have to think about what's happening here. So when I say hamotzi lechem menor, it's that he takes bread, not totzi, but he takes bread out of the land. He takes seed and turns it into bread. He takes everything and makes it for our benefit. All the brachas that you want to say, you're always moving from nochach to nister. Okay. Now, that being said, let's just learn for a little bit. You know what would be good if everybody had a sitter? That would be good. Bring some sitter up here. Let's learn the bracha of Baruch Shamar, which I've been trying to get to for the last week and a half, and I haven't been able to get there. So now we got about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we'll get to this bracha. Now, the first part of davening is the brachas. Second part of the davening is called Psukah Dezimra. Get to Baruch Shamar and Chakras. What does Psukah Dezimra mean? We're saying Psukim of
song.
Dezimra, Zmiris, right? Zmiris, songs. A what? Prune? Lizamer.
That's another shot.
Why are you making this complicated?
Another shot in the art school.
Right. Let's look with the simple shot. That there's a mitzvah, suppose a sort of a mitzvah or an obligation on every person to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu before or as the second portion of prayer. And the singing, when you talk about singing, when Jews talk about singing, when we talk about zmiros or shiros, we're talking about an emotional experience. We're not talking about an intellectual experience, we're talking about an emotional experience. When you talk about, let's say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, later on in davening, you talk about a philosophical experience, right? God is one. That's a philosophical. You've got to be a philosopher to understand that God is one. That's a philosophical point. We move on to the philosophical part, but when you say Psukah Dezimra, first thing we do is we engage our emotions with Zimra. I remember years ago I was davening here in this shul in Mattersdorf, and I don't know why at that time I had this minute to say Psukah Dezimra out loud with a little bit of a song, So there was an old man in front of me that said, you know, just because you're davening, nobody else is allowed to daven, like I was bothering him with my singing. Whoa. You know. So he said, you know, you just daven quietly to yourself, you're disturbing me. So, okay. Since heard from many, many people that when I sing, it disturbs them. But at that time, it was a shock. So,
you sing quietly to yourself?
Sing quietly to yourself. So I remember asking Griff Scheinberg, I said, so, you know, I said, I was like really irritated by this. So I said, I'm supposed to daven like quietly. So he says, it says Psukha Dezimbra. You're supposed to sing. You're supposed to sing, you know. So,
but unfortunately, you have a lot of people who do sing very, very loudly.
Right.
Particularly.
Okay, so I dominated and started dominating someplace else. Yeah, but the point is that singing is the time in davening, the psuki de zimra, the halalukas, and all of this is an ashrei halalukas. That's the time where we engage our emotion in tefillah. From our emotion, we work onto our intellect. So it's a very interesting thing because this is mesapik. This could work either way. Sometimes, and I'm gonna show you this, sometimes, like you can know something, you can hear something, and it goes through my brain, and I hear it. And then the process, whether it takes a minute or a week, the process becomes an emotional process. Right? You hear something, and then it works through, and it becomes, wow, like I integrate it to a place that it becomes emotion. Sometimes something hits me very emotionally. So the first time that I hear something, I hear somebody was born, or I hear somebody died, or I hear something very that hits me emotionally. So my first reaction to it is emotional. I cry. But then I concretize it, and I turn it into seichel, and I deal with it, right? So I'm on a I'm on an intellectual level. One of the greatest problems, by the way, I think, in human emotions and in human relationships, is that we are trained, particularly men, we are trained to skip the part of emotion. It's sort of like not a macho thing to be emotional. So like it means ki'ilu, like our brains aren't working well. Like, you know, what are you getting so emotional about? So we're taught not to be emotional. In the Western civilization, we're taught not to be emotional. It's not a male thing to be emotional anyways. Women are somehow excused for being a little bit more emotional. I don't mean to be sexist here. I'm just saying that there is a difference. Certainly children understand that they cry. But you see, what happens over here is that this is, I think, a bad thing, that we allow, when we get some data, we allow ourselves to skip the emotional part and go right to our seichel. And we train ourselves so much so that we don't feel anymore. We don't feel anymore. And feeling is a whole part of being alive, right? Feeling is a part of being alive. That's what's the stuff. So when it comes to, I remember somebody was, I think it was Rav Shlomo Brevda, was describing once that he was in the Mir Yeshiva in New York in the very early days. I think that's where he was. And everybody at Ne'ila was crying and crying by Ne'ila, the end of Yom Kippur, crying, and he said it wasn't working, and he felt very guilty that he wasn't, like, you know, in this kind of a teary situation that everybody was in, and like, why isn't he feeling the, so I remember he described himself as like a squeezed out lemon. No? Yeah, that's what he called it in Yiddish, an oishketrunket a limon. It's like a squeezed out lemon. We're like, where's the tears? How come everybody is able to feel this and not me? And then you get to the part in the Ila where you say to Hashem, "V'sam dimoisenu benoid liyais, take our tears and put them in a special container, a special bottle, and hold those tears." And we're told that Shari Demois explained in the Lulu that the gates of tears never get closed. You haven't got any tears.
That's what's the challenge to do. They're trying to wipe out the anything that Jews have any power we have.
Say it again.
That's like the ace of the whole thing, is to get rid of our tears, because once we don't cry, then Hashem doesn't listen to
them. Wow. Wow.
That's the Western society.
Yeah, wow. Western society, get rid of the tears. So somehow, it's interesting, because you say chol, maybe the pshat is like this. In other words, you say chol, could be good, could be not. You know, could be true, could be not true. Like, you know, who knows what we're thinking. You know, sometimes I think things that I think are like so true, and then you get a piece of information a week later, or a year later, 10 years later, you say, whoa, all that was for nothing. I was completely mistaken in that. You know, whoops, you know. Civilizations does this, you know, like, you know, look at communism, you know, Stalin, Lenin, you know, killed what was it, 120 million people or something like that? Then at the end of the whole thing, oops. Messed that one up, didn't you know, oh, it's wrong, oh, okay. You know, 100 million people later, you know, oops. So, you know, like, you got to watch that. You got to watch the safe thing, you know, but the emotions don't lie. Emotions don't lie, because it's beyond, it's below, it's besides, it's not about making a mistake, some kind of a mathematical cognitive error. It's about what I'm feeling, you know? So it's, if, you know, like, it's good, here, you're a shrink. if somebody's feeling something, feeling insulted, feeling hurt, so, you know, like here's again, you know, like the sort of, when I say the male, I don't know, females act male too, but I'm just saying it as a sort of a way of, a lot of males that are females, a lot of females that are males, but what's happening when we say, you know, somebody is hurt, standing in front of us and they're hurt, and we say, I didn't hurt you, it's not right, it's not correct, it's not MS, right? So what's happening is we're attacking something emotional with something intellectual. So the fact is that the person's feeling something, that's a reality onto itself, right? That's a perception onto itself. So you got to deal with that perception. You know, obviously something in halacha is like that, because if I make somebody feel bad, if I make somebody feel insulted, whether I meant that or I didn't mean that, doesn't make any difference. I was still cause somebody to be insulted. I'm so, obviously when you're in the realm of normalcy, but even if you're in the realm of not normalcy, so you have to be more sensitive. So the sensitivity of a person means that you're sensitive to somebody's emotion, not to somebody's thinking. Are we dealing here with a laboratory? Are we dealing here with a... So a lot of times what the process is, something starts with our seichel and it works into our emotions. Sometimes it goes through our emotions through our seichel. The point is that they both got to be there. Those are both part of being alive and both part of a process and both part of chakras. Because what happens is we sort of start off with the psuke de zimra, which is singing, which is all emotional, and then we work ourselves into a Shema Yisrael Hashem Lebirchas Krishma, which is something intellectual that we're working. So what you don't lose the emotions. You take the emotions with you, and that spices up the seichel. Now you got a real good intellectual derech. Okay. Everyone understand that? Okay. That being said, now we understand what happens with the bracha and what happens with malchus, and that's what every bracha is. Let's look for a minute at the Baruch Shamar. Let's just analyze Baruch Shamar for two parts of Baruch Shamar. First of all, there are many names for Hashem, and the name for Hashem which we don't say but we know the best is the Shem Yud Hey Vav Hey. And if you rotate and switch around those letters enough, you get to, the Gemara tells us, you get to Hayahoveh V'yiyeh. It's a description of God as being eternal, but not eternal just forever. Eternal always was, is, and will be. So that's the name of Hashem. Whenever you say Yud Hey Vav Hey, whatever you don't say it, whenever you read Yud Hey Vav Hey, the correct kavana is that, wow, he's always been there, he always will be there, he always is there, he is there now. That's the kavanah. It's not something that happened, it's not something that's going to happen, that's not what we're praying about, it's not something that just is the second. It's a whole totality of Hayahoveh V'yiyeh. That's what the shame is. And when we start with that Yud-Heh Vav-Heh, we start saying Baruch Shamar. Look what happens over here, the Baruch Shamar. The first part of Baruch Shamar, well, let me just back up for 1 second even before we say this. The Baruch Shamar is a bracha Absuke de Zimra. Just like you make a bracha on a piece of cake, you make a bracha on the emotions of the halalukas and the ashrei that we're going to say. And just like on a piece of cake, there's a first bracha and an after bracha. So the bracha, these are like bookends to my eating. So the first bracha of Psuke de Zimra is Baruch Shamar, and the closing bracha of Psuke de Zimra is
Shtavach.
Very good. So, and by the way, you'll notice that they're pretty much the same bracha. The bracha Baruch Shamar says, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shubach HaMafarah B'Lashon Chasidah V'Avodah V'Shirei David Avdecha Na'alecha Hashem Elokeinu. We're using the songs of David to praise you, Hashem, B'Shvachos and B'Zmiros, with praises and with songs. And then we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Melech Mehulo B'Tishbachos. You are praised with Tishbachos. And if you'll fast forward over to Yishtabach for a second, which is the closing bracha of Psuke de Zimra, you'll see a very similar thing. Baruch Atah Hashem Kel Melech Gadol B'Tishbachos. Right, that you're great, we're big on the praises. Kel Oidois, Hadon Niflois, Habocher V'Shim Rezibra, who chose the Psukim of Zmiros, which Dovin HaMelech said, Melech Elchei Oilamin. So you see that they're both dealing with the Zmiros of that we're saying in the morning, the smears of Hallelujah, the Psuke de Zimra, and it starts off with Baruch Shabbat, ends off with Yishtalach. First bracha, after bracha, with the emotions in between. Okay, so Now, that's what Baruch Shabbar is. It's the opening. Now, but it's interesting with Baruch Shabbar that there's an opening to the opening. There's an introduction to the opening. So before the bracha of Baruch Shabbar starts halfway through, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. That's the Surat HaBracha, right? That's the. But before that, we say this little piece of Baruch Shabbar V'Haya HaOlam. So let's analyze this for a second. Remember, Hashem is always was, is, and will be. Okay, so let's look at it. Let's translate. Baruch Shabbar V'Haya HaOlam. He said, and the world was. When did that happen?
In
the beginning. Baruch Hu. Baruch Osa Bracious. He made gracious. Now, this is important. What does Osa mean?
To do.
I translated correctly? He made?
Fashion.
Makes?
To do.
Makes.
Whoa. You changed, right? What do you say? Osa is makes. Osa. Is made. Baruch Asa Bracious is past tense. Osa is present tense. Whatever you got above in the middle of the word, it's a present tense, right? Yeah. Osa Bracious. Baruch Omer Va'osa. What's Omer? Present?
Says.
Or present. 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 Or it means the maker. I mean, really, the one who.
Okay, but let's not get too drashadic here. What's a simple chat? Omer means what?
Says.
Says. Present. Omer means past. Yobar means future, right? Baruch Ober Vosha. Baruch goes there. Goes there is present. Bubakai. Baruch Mirachim. Right? Not Rocham. Richem. Mirachim. Present. Right? Aloaris. Baruch Mirachim Alabrius. Okay, so let's stop there. So look at the transition that just took place. Baruch Shah Marva Haya Ha'olam is past tense. It's got set one, the past. He created the world. He said something. Sha'amar, right? He said something, poof, there was a world. 6 days of creation, there was a world. Move right along, Baruch Hu is your hefsek, and you move right into present tense. Baruch Osa Bracious, Baruch Omer Vosa, Baruch Gozer Makayim, Baruch Marachim Alars. I'll explain to you a little bit more, but let's just get the frame over here. Baruch Marachim Alabrius. Now, next. Baruch Meshalem Socher Tov L'Reyav. He will pay a reward to those who fear him. What's that? Past or present?
Well, Mishalim is present.
Future. He will pay.
He will pay.
Is Mishalim the present?
It could be present, and it could be.
It is now also.
So it means that we're making it a transition here. Socher Tov L'Reyav means we paskin. There's a machlokas in the Gemara. Do you get reward for mitzvos in this world or in the next world? Argument in the Gemara, right? So it comes to the Gemara, says that. Can't get any reward for mitzvahs in this world. Schar mitzvah b'hayal maleika. There's no reward for mitzvahs in this world. Why not? Because reward is spiritual, and the world is physical. So how are you going to fit?
Exist now also.
Okay, whatever. I don't know, but I do know, but I don't feel like talking about that right now. what we're saying is that, as the Rishonim explained, that reward is already talking. But the minute you start talking about reward. You're talking about the future, perforce. No, Schar Mitzvah B'Hai Alma, like, maybe the future is now, you're saying.
Yeah, well,
okay, if you have the capacity to understand.
No, I don't mean to die. I mean, like, people, like, when someone, I don't know, of course, when someone is Nifter Pemenah Olam, does that mean that he waits until Olam Haba, or is he, like, outside of time now, so it's not the same, and then, so, like, I mean, like, what's happening? Isn't
you mean right away there's no time?
Or, well, I mean, I don't know, is that the way it works? Or is it that right, that he's still in time and that person is receiving reward right now?
I haven't been there. Yeah, get the
thoughts. That's where you kind of perceive it, because at least.
The thing is like this, that, but let's take the simple shot. Again, I don't want to get too deep here, even though, you know, I'm training you to be deep. I don't want to get too deep. The chat is that in this world, there is a great benefit package for the mitzvah doer. So benefit package, right? So benefit package means, I'm a great executive, let's say, for a company. So they're flying me all over the place on business class, you know. So and then when I get off the plane and I ask for my paycheck, I say, what do you want, paycheck? You want business class. I speak. You had business class. Business class is a benefit to to the one who's doing so much. You appreciate the fact that I'm going to accomplish so much on my journey. You appreciate the fact that I'm that I haven't got time to have jet lag. You appreciate all these things, so you give me a benefit of flying business class. That's my reward. That's what you're going to pay me. That's ridiculous. I can't live in business class. Good food in business. What's going to happen afterwards? I got to bring home money to my wife. Or what's going to happen at the end? What's the so you'd have to have suffer. So when we say in Shema every day, v'yasafta degalecha v'siroshcha v'yitzarecha, right, that your fields are going to work and your crop is going to work and all of this stuff's going to work, that's a benefit package. That facilitates our doing of the mitzvahs. That makes it a little easier for us to do mitzvahs. The world's going to work nicely. Is that the reward? Nah, that's nothing. That's nothing that the apples are green. It's business class. It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing if it works. But it's not. That's not the reward yet. The reward. So where do you get the reward? When does the good stuff come? Right. So the answer is schar mitzvah. We paskin schar mitzvah b'hayal malaika. It's almost, you know, the Chazal understood that. If you do get some of that reward in this world, this is a bad thing. You know, you don't want to use up the reward in this world. You know, let me get back to my metaphor. If somebody gives me like $100,000 while I'm sitting in business class, and says this is all yours, but you got to use it before you get off the plane.
You're pretty drunk.
I mean, how many drinks can I buy? Right? How many cigarettes can I buy? I mean, and then you get out and even smoke them. You know, like, so what's the deal over here? We're going to give you $100,000. You can spend it. You got to spend it before we land. Once you land, you can't spend it. So this is like, pay me now. Please give it to me later. Don't give me all this this reward now. You want to give me benefits? Give me benefits. I have no benefit from having a lot of money in my, maybe a little psychological benefit, having money in my pocket. If I know I'm not going to be able to have it. For netzach, for forever. I need to have this forever. I'm building a portfolio here. This is not something that... So you can't... never get confused between what's the benefit. So the Gemara says, Rishayim, if you're a Rasha, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want you in the next world. So, but he's got to give you some benefits because you gave some... you did some good things, you know. You know the famous story about the... do I always tell the story? About the guy who comes to the Shemayim and he says... the Malach says... Straight to Gehenna. So he says, straight to Gehenna. I did a lot of good things, you know. So he says, what'd you do? So he says that he remembers once that there was, years ago, there was a poor man that came over to me and said that he doesn't have any food, doesn't have anything to eat. So I gave him a dollar. And, I did that, you know. So he says, that's it? That's what you did? He says, no, that's not all I did. There was another time also. There was a bag lady who came over, and he says, she said to me that, you know, her kids are hungry, and that, so I gave her a dollar too. So he says, that's it? He says, yeah, that's it. So he says, let me consult with God. So she goes to God. He says, this guy gave a dollar to a bum and a dollar to a bag lady. So God says, well, give him back his $2 and tell him to go to hell. the Kabbalistic or what? What? don't say I never taught you anything. That's a Kabbalistic thing, you know. Okay, we got to give you something, so we give the Russia. We give the Russia a little bit of schar in this world. The tzaddikim understood that don't give me schar in this world. This is a bad thing for me to get schar in this world. Give me benefits, right? So when we're talking about Mishalim Sachar Tov L'Reyav, Sachar Tov, got it? Sachar Tov. Give me the good reward. Don't give me the... I don't know the stuff that's in this world that fits into this world that you can only use in this world. You're so limited to what you can do. Give me some nitzchias. Give me some permanence. Give me some eternity. So Baruch Mishal, give me some Olam Haba. So Baruch Mishal himself, I tell you, for sure we're talking about, we've just segued from the present into the future, right? And that Baruch, where's the next thing over here? Baruch Hailuat, okay. He lives forever. Obviously, this is a future deal, right? He lives forever. Talking about God will always be there. Kayom lenetzach, he will exist for eternity. So when we're talking about eternity, we're talking about the future. So let's just pause there for a second. What we have just done is we have very clearly, by the way, it's not my Varth, this is the way all the Maharshim explained Baruch Shamar, that we introduce ourselves to God in the morning, and we introduce God to us when we're introducing the interaction between ourselves and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Before we even make a bracha, we're making a statement about HaYahoveh V'Yiyah, because that is the whole essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was, he is, and he will be. And that's the three phases of the... Here's an interesting pasuk. The pasuk says in Tehillim, La'olam dvarecha nitzav bashomayim. Your words are always standing in the heaven. Unbelievable visual. What does it mean? Your words are always... Talking about Hashem. Your words are always standing in the Shemayim. So what it means is, what we understand from this pasuk is that it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said something, Baruch She'amar V'haya Olam. That's just a small part of it, that he said something in Vayihi Or. Let there be light. So there was light, right? No. La'olam, David HaMelech understood something over here. He had an insight. He said, La'olam Hashem, that forever, Dvarcha, when you said Yihi Or, when you said let there be light, those words are forever standing in the Shemayim. And that's why we have light today. And that's why we have Or tomorrow. And that's why we always have Or. Because that's why the sun rises every single day, no matter how bad of a day it is. The sun rises, right? Because when Hashem said Yihi Or, it wasn't just a past tense. It's a present tense. It's a future tense. Olam Hashem Dvarcha Nitzav Vashemayim is your words. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are permanent. Everything about God is eternal. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words are eternal. So when you said, let there be light, there was that's a permanent thing. That's a permanent thing. It's always standing there in Shemayim. Light. You created a generator for light. When Hashem said, let the water only come to this point and not flood the whole city. Let it just stop miraculously. The water stops at the Tel Aviv beach. I don't know why it doesn't flush out the whole Tel Aviv, but it doesn't. Right? It's a miracle. That's because Hashem said in the 6 days of creation that I'm going to make a boundary here between land and water. And la'olam Hashem dvarcha nitzav b'shamayim. And your words always stand in the Shemayim. If there's some kind of a crazy thing where what we call today a natural disaster that happens, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to go into the program, into the code, and change the teva, change nature that he created. He's got to change the code, actually. You know, you got to really be sophisticated. Only God could do this. Changes the code and says, now right now I'm going to make a change right here. Temporary change, hopefully. But it's a change nevertheless. So here you have Hayahu V'Yeh. So let me just throw this out for a minute. Unfortunately, I can't finish Baruch Shabbat. It's too late. I can't wait. But let me just throw out this idea. Here we have a clear Haya was, a clear Hove is, a clear Yiyya. Then we say Baruch Poda Umatzil, which is what? Present, past, or future?
Present.
So that's odd to you. We start off with past, we move it to present, then we go on to future, we covered it, right? So now we go to Baruch Poda Umatzil, which should have been right next to Baruch Hosea Bereishis, Baruch Omer Vosa, Baruch Gozer Umakayim, right? Baruch Merachim al Abrius, Baruch Merachim al Arts, Baruch Merachim al Abrius, Baruch Poda Umatzil. So it's past, present, or future?
All
over the place. So why is it saying in present tense? Yifte, Poda.
The benefits of those redemptions are now.
Every time you go to read.
So, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehyeh Bidvaro.
Amen.
I've got to practice what I preach. So that's very good, Shmuel. Let me define it just a little bit more. That there's something more. There's past, present, future, and then there's a fourth thing. Right? We're used to three dimensions, but there's a fourth thing. And the fourth thing is called, you get a second shot at it. Right? Let's say you get messed up in the process of past, present, and future. There's such a thing as tshuva, right? So what does tshuva do? Is that working in the past, in the present, or in the future?
All three.
We're talking about poda. Poda Hashem is Avram. Poda means, let's say we mess up. Let's say we trip up. Here's one of the greatest praises, and this is what we're talking about. We're starting with the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that even though the past is the past, the present is the present, the future is the future, I can go in and make a change in all of that. Because here you go. If we're above time, if we can get above time, if we can get all the way up to the world of Atzilus, as I explained it, so then, by the time I get to this, I'm stuck over here. I messed up in the past. I made some very, very serious mistakes. So now the program is moving on. Where am I? Well, how am I supposed to get back into this thing? The answer is, Baruch Poda U'matzil. Baruch U'matzil means you're already in trouble, and Hashem is saving you. Matzil doesn't mean that you're not getting in trouble. Matzil means, me personally, I got in trouble. Am I right? Matzil. He saves us. Saves us. The implication of being saved is that I'm in trouble. So now that I'm in trouble, we get to a fourth dimension, if you will, a Baruch Poda U'matzil, that besides for the linear aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of was, is, will be, there's woe back to the beginning again. So we got a recycle over here of Baruch Poda U'matzil, that I can go back all the way. That's the real praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The real praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that you're not stuck in your own system. The real praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is you're not even stuck in your own system. There was, there is, there will be, and there was again. I could just repeat the exercise like those those arrows. Repeat. I could do a repeat. That's the introduction. What I'm going to do here is tomorrow. I just want to finish Baruch Shabbar, and I thought tomorrow night was Chanukah. Tuesday night is Chanukah, so Tuesday we'll start learning about Chanukah and Hashem in a deep way. But let's finish the Baruch Shabbar.